Technology is your friend, and if you want to scale a great business, bring technology into it and you see your business scale.
You're listening to Toolbox for the Trades, brought to you by ServiceTitan, a podcast for top service professionals where we interview leaders for their best tips and tricks of the trades. Learn how industry trailblazers stay ahead of the competition, and how you too can be at the forefront of an industry. Let's jump in.
Hello, contractors, and welcome to Toolbox for the Trades. My name is Jackie Aubel, and today I am chatting with Lance Bachman, the owner of LB Capital Group, a portfolio of growing businesses that generate more than $100 million in revenue. Lance is passionate about surrounding himself with the right people, building profitable businesses, and being a great leader. We talk about all of that and more on today's episode. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Lance Bachman, you are the owner of LB Capital Group, an ever-growing portfolio of businesses that collectively employs like hundreds of people. You generate more than $100 million in revenue each year. You're also the best-selling author of All In and international keynote speaker. Welcome to Toolbox for the Trades.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Jackie. And I love your podcast. And obviously, everyone knows how I feel about ServiceTitan.
Yeah, I know. And we're going to get into it today. I want to talk to you about, I was looking through your website and I was looking through just like everything you've done. And I'm like, I want to talk about business growth. I want to talk about mindset. I want to talk about transforming the roofing industry. I know you've got a wealth of knowledge that I just can't wait to unlock. But before we even get to all of that, I love to kick us off with an icebreaker. I would like to know, Lance, if you could have a lifetime supply of anything, what would it be and why?
If I have a lifetime supply of anything, besides being with my children, it would be to have leaders around that would give me their knowledge before I made a decision and their best advice. If I have a lifetime supply of anything, it would have some of the best leaders around in everything I do to give me their advice on everything I do, to give me that extra edge in everything that I do.
Wow. So like leader on demand, kind of?
Leader on demand for everything.
Dang.
From business to advertising to systems, processes, to coaching my children, to being a better husband, being a better father. I mean, everything, professionally, personal. I have a personal coach in everything and leaders that actually done it. I'm talking about people that have done it, been there, and have achieved it, not these new coaching groups where people have never achieved anything in their life and they call themselves gurus.
You know, Lance, my answer to this question is an unlimited supply of LaCroix. And I think that's the reason why you have a portfolio of businesses averaging over $100 million. And I don't, but I do love seltzer water. And I think that's actually a really cool concept of having people on demand. And it goes to show kind of one of the main things we talk about on this podcast, which is learning from others is some of the best ways that you can get business knowledge and insight. So I know your story is an incredible one. So I'm just going to open it up with the question I love to ask, which is how did you get into the trades?
Well, I'm actually not in the trades. I'm not a tradesman like everyone else. Like the majority of people you interview, they were started out as a mechanic or a technician. I've never sold a roof. I never sold HVAC. I never sold painting. I never painted a house. Not in my own house. I've never installed HVAC. I've never sold a roof, installed roofing or fixed any of these things. I got into it actually the opposite. I owned one SEO, a digital marketing agency. I owned some other technology companies at the time. And one of my clients said, I want to be my partner. We haven't grown. The company was around since 1955. And I wasn't going to do it. And at the time, my CFO, Joe Lynn's like, no, you are going to do it. So we partnered. And we went from 2 million to 7.5, 8 million to 12. We had the company sold in 24 months
wow,
to mid eight figures. And it changed his life and mine. And then other people start asking me to partner. I get probably text and emailed anywhere between 30 to 40 times a week asking to partner with me. So it's flattering and it's actually a nice feeling. And obviously it's one out of every 200-300 we partner with.
Yeah. So you actually had no experience in the trades. You were doing tech companies. You were doing other types of businesses. Someone came up to you and was like, hey, will you help me with this business? And you're like, I guess. And then it sounds like through that process, you discovered the incredible profitability and opportunity in the trades.
I actually saw three things. The need for real businessmen in the trade, the people that understand P&L systems, processes, that don't get caught up on this is how it was done there or this is how it's done there. It's just, hey, listen, if it doesn't make money, it doesn't make sense. We're not doing it, right? It's real simple. Number two was it was a win for me partnering with people because I made money from it, right? But it was a win for them. They're getting exit checks. You know, they're getting, you know, $10 million, $20 million at the time of selling their company that they never would have got before. So it's a win for everyone involved, and that's really how it came about. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I've done it now multiple times. I'm very lucky.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit because I think roofing sounds like it's one of your more passionate trades, if you will. I know you get a bunch of different requests out there, but I know you have a real soft spot for roofing. But before we even get into that, okay, if you're not a tradesman, tell me how you got into business. How did you find yourself in this wacky world?
I mean, how I found myself in this wacky world, I sold advertising, believe it or not, and that's how it came about. I was a loser from Northeast Philly. A lot of trouble as a kid, locked up, fights, just not the best role model. Wind up selling advertising. I love advertising still today. It's the best thing about any business, I think. I enjoy it. It makes me happy. It became a business and I started to hate it, right? After so many years, 30 years in advertising, right? I was the vice president of AT&T for the whole entire country. I ran yellowpages.com. And I left and started my own company. So it kind of just was a lot of failures, a lot of failures, a lot of failures. I've been fired, let go, a lot of failures, and just kept going and going and going. And here I am today, a very lucky, blessed man, very lucky, blessed man, very fortunate.
That's awesome. I'm really appreciative that you shared that maybe you had a rough upbringing or you were, you know, maybe a bit of a troubled kid when you were younger, because I think those stories are some of the best ones, the redemption stories.
Absolutely. I think most people are ashamed or afraid to talk about it because they're afraid of what people think and what they're going to think of them. I mean, if you really think about it, so many people I know, I could tell you not a million Lance Bachmans, but I could tell you a ton of Lance Bachmans that are great, good men today that had troubled use because it gives people a subject to talk about you. I hope you talk about me because literally if you're talking shit on me, number one, that means I'm doing the right thing. Number two, if you're talking about where I was and what I did as a kid and all the mistakes I made and where I am now, Stevie Wonder can see, I'm not saying I'm the best man, but I'm a good man and I'm proud of who I am. I want to do the right thing at the end of the day, every single day. And I think that's important, right? And I think these kids today need to know it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to fail. You learn more by mistakes and failing than you're ever going to do by constantly winning and doing the right things.
Yeah, that is such a great mindset to have. And I want to talk about mindset because you have this thing on your website that's like the why me versus why not me mindset. Can you tell me about that and how our listeners can apply that to their business and lives?
So the why me, I used to think I was a victim, right? I grew up in an orphanage, group home, foster care system, locked up, alcoholic mother, alcoholic parent, you know, abusive father used to beat the crap out of me all the time, right? Just really, really bad circumstances, right? And I would be like, why me? Why me? And I would see these rich kids I went to high school with, Council Rock. I'm like, look at their life and then look at mine. So I'm the victim. And when I changed my mindset from why me to why not me, why can't I go be them? Why can't I talk the way they talk? Why can't I look the way they look? Why can't I go outwork someone and build a company or make money? And I changed my whole life to why me? Why not me? Like, I'm not going to be the victim in any situation. It's going to be why not me? I can do it. If I believe it, I see it. I know I can achieve it. I tell my sons that all the time. But if you have a victim mentality, you're done. The minute you feel sorry for yourself, you're done. It's over.
Got it. When did you have that shift? When did that shift happen for you?
The shift probably happened in my early 20s. You know, mm-hmm. I was constantly getting in trouble, girls breaking up with me, thinking I'm a loser. I mean, even like when I was older, like here's a funny story. I could tell you a girl that I really liked. Now, thank God it didn't work out. And I'll never forget. She's like, I want someone that's never been in trouble. My family never stepped on it. It was in jail. And I'm like, what? That was 30, or at the time, it was 20 years ago. And I'm like, and I went to high school with this girl. And I'm like, she was more worried about what her friends would have thought if she got serious with me or dated me. I believe that today than where we actually enjoyed our time together. And You know, so my mindset really changed back in my early 20s, and then through my 30s, it just really changed. And then my 40s, now that I'm 50, like every version of me every 10 years is a different man, a better man, a man that really looks at that guy before him and say, this is what I don't like, and this is what I do like, and what I don't like, I change. What I do like, I keep, and I sharpen it and make it better.
I love that. As Taylor Swift says, who I've never quoted on this podcast before, the trash takes itself out every time. And it's interesting when you look back on some of those things that were really big heartbreak for you at the beginning, right? At a certain time in your life. And then now looking at it in the history with wisdom, you're like, oh, it's actually really great that that didn't happen. So I'm glad that that person eliminated themselves from my life.
Oh yeah. When you're in business and you're building things, no one's going to believe in you in the beginning. You know, people only root for people that need rooting for. Does that make sense? Like people, when Tom Brady first marched out onto the field, everybody was rooting for Tom Brady, this kid from New England, last pick in the draft, total underdog. But as soon as he had 2-3 Super Bowls, Tom Brady became the most hated man ever because there was no reason to root for Tom Brady, right? And it's really, really crazy because business is the same thing. And so I can tell every entrepreneur, when you're first starting, people root for you. They don't need to root for you no more, and they start rooting against you. It's really, really crazy.
Interesting. All right. Well, I've danced around mental health, which if you listen to the podcast before, it's like one of my favorite things to talk about. But let's go into the trades because this is a trades podcast. I want to know, you know, you're on a mission to change the roofing industry. I would love to know how you realized that goal. What was about the roofing industry that was like, I got to do this?
When I got into the roofing industry, I really, really saw a craziness of a separation between roofing companies, leaders, the vendors, which I like to call partners, right? ABC, Beacon, SRS. They have some great people in those organizations also. And some of these roofing companies have some great people in their organizations, but the friction's there because, you know, they don't look at it as businesses. The suppliers don't treat their customers as businesses because the businesses, a lot of them don't pay on time and they make it not a frictionless environment, right? So just a lot of friction. So I was like, man, I got to change this. And so far, you know, we're fortunate. We have great partners in Beacon and ABC and SRS, and we get along with them well. And, you know, Ethan from Beacon is probably one of the best people in the trades. And he saw it. And with Service Titan, they only have AccuLinks, right? And I was like, man, this cannot run a business. You know, I own other businesses. In my opinion, it can. I'm not saying if you're on AccuLinks and you love them, stay with them. God bless you, right? I don't have no dog in the fight. But using Service Titan at my HVAC companies, I knew all the KPIs I needed to know. How many times my phone ring? What's my book rate? How many leads did I get? What's my average ticket? What's my close rate? These are things you got to know every morning when you get up. I got 20 appointments today. My close rate's at 50%. That's 10 appointments. That's 10 sales. My average appointment sales, I'm going to do $10,000 that day, right? My average sales is $1,000. I mean, you got to know this stuff. Service Titan gave me that. I got Beacon on board, ABC on board to integrate with Beacon, with Service Titan to help us with pricing, to help us with rebates, to help educate customers. They want to help change the community. And then now, as I talk to roofing people in the space and owners, I'm like, you got to do a better job too. If you're only worried about maxing out your rebate, but you're not worried about training your employees, you're costing you more money than the rebate could ever get you, right? So it's really educating on the whole thing from being a great roofing and siding company to systems, processes, to having great partners with training. And I think when you do that, you know, that's why people are saying, hey, Lance, you're changing the space so much. I'm a direct man, as you know, Jackie. So it helps, right? I'm direct. And, you know, Aura didn't want to do roofing. He was very direct with me about that at first. And I was on the phone with him for an hour and a half, Tom Howard, you know, for hours. And, you know, truthfully, I set up an account on Service Titan for my roofing company and just did it, right? Just moved forward and built it out myself. And when they, Abigail and them all saw it works, they were like, and I was like, when I talked to Art, I'm like, Art, this is going to be one of the biggest industries. You know, private equity is just coming into roofing over the last year, year and a half, really. Most people don't even understand how that works, how it affects them on their exit strategy. I just think if you can change the roofing industry a little bit, because there's such great people in it, and get that relationship between the CRM companies, the suppliers, the roofing companies, and make them all a little less friction, you're going to see the whole industry just keep exploding. No different than Dave Geiger, Ken Goodrich, all these people revolutionized the HVAC industry.
Yeah. I love what you did in terms of going to Service Titan and saying, hey, I think this is really going to work for roofing. Please make it work. And I got to give you credit, Lance, because so many people, when they're told no, they're like, okay. And you're like, nah, this is, I believe in this. I'm going to make it happen. And the fact that you're finding that roofing is filled with fantastic people, that if they have the right technology, they can grow and expand to the level that we've now seen HVAC, electrical and plumbing contractors, garage door contractors on Service Titan expand. I think that's incredible.
I look at it from a different standpoint than most people, I think, right? I'm not a roofer. I'm not an HVAC person. I'm not a painter, right? So I'm a technology person, right? If you really think about it, at the core, who's Lance Bachman? It's in that advertising, technology. Some say I'm a business person. That's flattering, right? And it was just a simple thing for me. These other things, job nimbus, AccuLinks, I mean, I looked at everything, you name it, GAF's platform, like you name it, I looked at them all. I'm like, none of them gives you everything that you need, that I need to run the advertising part of my business, the lead part of my business. People ask me, how do I grow these companies so fast? I'm like, because if you don't have advertising and sales, the rest is done. So it doesn't matter. And Service Titan's whole front end, believe it or not, is based around the advertising and sales metrics and the business KPIs. So they're quick snapshots you can take. These other companies don't have it to that effect of that. And then all the back end, price book, in home. So it was a technology play for me on why the no couldn't happen. I told Tom Howard that. I'm like, you got to get Aura on board. I got Aura on board. I'll never forget. I was talking to Aura. I was like, and now I've had success in one roofing company I sold to private equity. The company I'm doing now, I mean, think about this. I bought Munn 6 months ago. They did $1.5 million in revenue the year before total. We did $2 million in the month of January on Service Titan because we can manage all of our KPIs. We can look at everything. So roofing is typically normally dead here in January, and we did $2 million here in January.
Holy crap.
And we're going to have a bigger month in February.
Holy crap. That's incredible.
That's a brand new company, like a brand new organization.
So just to recap here, you said 1.6 million for the last year, and you just did 2 million.
Last year they did. I got involved with them in about June or July of this year. And they only had one salesperson at the time. He's still not even with us. I think we now have 9 or 10 salespeople, and we did $2 million in January.
Awesome. 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 Congratulations. So you've talked to a couple members of my team already. So obviously I asked them, what do I have to ask Lance about? And one of my colleagues, Mike Persinger, mentioned, you know, Lance has this really interesting take when it comes to technology about, you know, if you don't have technology, you end up with a job rather than a business. Did he quote you right? And if so, can you expand on that?
Without technology, who's buying you? Who's validating this information, right? People come to me right now, say, what's your CRM are you on? They're not. They're like, everything's in my QuickBooks. I'm like, how do you communicate to your customers then? How do you text them, email them, phone call them, send them, you know, whatever, an email, whatever it is. So there's no So really what you have is a job where people are contacting you. You're doing everything manually. Technology, whether it be Service Titan, whatever technology it is, allows you to automate so much that you can build and scale a business so fast. I believe you can build and scale a company without technology. I believe there's people out there. But why would a fool do that, in my opinion, when technology is your friend? It's kind of like ChatGPT. People are like, oh, do you use it? I'm like, yes, I use it. It's on my phone, actually, right? Why wouldn't I use it? It's one less thing I got to think about, right? Technology is your friend. And if you want to scale a great business, bring technology into it. And you see your business scale. And then when someone's coming looking to buy your company, that technology validates everything you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. Your QuickBooks, when they bring in a company like CBiz or whoever they're bringing in to do their forensics accounting and look at all your P&Ls and go through everything and look at all your classes and line up bank statements and credit cards. And that's great. That's one theory, but not everyone's an accountant and is going to go through that. When you're talking to some of these private equity people, it's okay, listen, we got 500 phone calls. Oh, great. Where did those 500 phone calls come from? Well, they came from organic. People knew my name. Okay, well, how can I see that in our CRM, in Service Titan? or whatever CRM you're in. If I don't have a CRM, that's just me saying that. I have no data to prove that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting. Thank you for expanding on that. I want to go now into, you know, you mentioned you've got 30, 40 people texting you a week asking like, help me with my business. You've made a name for yourself in the industry. You have these 10 golden business principles that you talk about a lot. Can you tell me about them? Do you have a favorite or one you really want to highlight for our listeners?
Well, there's a few that are my favorite, right? And I'll give you just a few. Obviously, leadership. If you're not a leader, so many people are afraid to speak up or say things or have friction conversations because they think, oh my God, like I know it's 2024 and we live in a new world and it's a very soft world. And I get that. But I do believe most leaders don't like conflict, but they're not afraid of it at times when it needs to happen. Make sense?
Like, yeah, that
and
does
not
make
all conflict
sense.
Has to be yelling and screaming and heat, and then sometimes it does, like just the way of the world, right? So I believe in leadership. I think if you be a great leader, people will follow you, right? And most leaders are not liked, believe it or not. Most leaders are not loved. Think about this. People will say they love aura, but a lot of people will say aura is this or aura is that or aura is that. Aura has to be a hard man at times because he has to make hard choices. It's business. It's not personal. Make sense? It's just not, right? Once again, it's a lot easier when you're a billionaire, not that aura is, I'm talking about a billionaire like Steve Jobs or someone, to walk around jovial and be like, yeah, everything's great. But when you're building a business and there's tough decisions to make, it's hard, it's stressful. So I think leadership is my number one. Obviously, I love advertising. And my third biggest one is surround yourself with the right people. I wish I would have had someone in high school or someone, you know, I used to get in trouble a lot, right? And two of my best friends, I always wondered why Seth Dunn and Mike Ortman at the time, and the girl I dated, this girl Shay, their parents always let me in their house. They never said don't hang out with them. Their parents loved me. They always tried to help me. I look back and it's just such an like an amazing feeling for me, right? And part of that is I became a better man by hanging out with them. As I got older and I started hanging out with the Tommy Mellows of the world, the Tom Howards of the world, all these other business guys I hang out with, even Joe Bograd, Roman, Lawrence, just a different type of human being, lawyers, and you get educated and you start learning and your mindset changes from not hanging out with the same people. There's nothing wrong with these people that are just in the bar. They go to work all day at a certain job. They go to the bar and they go out at night. I wish somebody, the mindset, the people you hang out with. I truly believe this with all my heart. If I didn't meet some of the people I met over the last 7 years, I probably would still have had one SEO and not have sold that. I probably wouldn't have sold the three other companies I've sold now. And those people changed my life by hanging with them. And with no vested interest, I never did business with 90% of the people I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, you're just talking to people that are like-minded, that are to this level you want to go. I believe this also to my core. And I love when I get reminded of it every time I do a podcast, which is, you know, you're the summation of the six people you spend the most time with. And that goes down to like habits, right? If you don't want to be drinking anymore, you got to look at the friends you hang out with the most. Are they always drinking? That's example that came top of mind. If you like to be active, if you like to travel, are you with people who like to do that? And thinking about what your current circle is and, you know, maybe, hey, how can I introduce some new people that are a little bit more aligned with where I see my life going so I can be surrounded by like-minded people?
I mean, it's real simple. I tell people this all the time. I've never invented anything myself. I've never literally patented anything myself. I'm a monkey see, monkey do person, right? I see success. And I go duplicate success, right? I go look at them. I learn. I'm not afraid to ask questions. I'm not afraid to say. And I don't just ask. I'm not a time suck, right? Like if I ask for an abundance, hey, can I borrow a day of your time to mirror you so I can learn? But I also give it, play it forward. But also the people that give me their time and advice, when they need anything, they want to know about advertising, they need help with anything figuring out, I stop, drop, and I help. And I think that has really opened a lot of other doors for me because it's not a one-way take-take relationship. I'm all about giving also. I wish somebody, I mean, I really mean that. I wish somebody would have told me, you know, you're going to become who you hang out with, who you talk to, who you communicate with. Because until I was 40, I would have never believed that. And like you said, the drinking, I had to leave a lot of my friends behind that, you know, going out to them is more important than building a business. And, you know, it's all what you want, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with that either. I see people, they get upset. They're like, oh, well, I used to hang out with those people. They don't. I'm like, I love those people still. I just can't go out all the time still. Makes sense? It's just different lives.
Yeah, it's just different lives. I actually want to go back to leadership real quick, because you mentioned this tough exterior and you used Service Titan CEO Ara as an example. I mean, that's a phenomenal example. Like I said at the beginning, before we started recording, I'm employee number 286. We're in the 3000s now. That man has had to oversee tremendous growth and impact in his career. But talking about leaders and like having to develop that ease with conflict, like what advice would you give listeners who resonate with that and are like, oh yeah, I really have difficulty with conflict?
Jump in. I mean, it's like anything else. The more you do it, the easier it gets. I hate conflict. And people are like, there's no way you hate conflict. I'm like, I hate it. I'm just not scared of it. There's a difference, right? Like, I hate it. Like, I don't want to be arguing with someone. I don't want to be fighting with someone. I don't want to be having to confront someone. It's just not the things. But I know if I don't do it, the behavior is never going to change, right? Mm-hmm. So I either have to change the person I'm dealing with to get the behavior I want, or I can communicate and have some friction, some conflict there to hopefully get the behavior I want to make everyone successful.
Hot take. You can't change people. It's you just can't do it.
You can't change people, but you hopefully can change some of the behaviors. I do believe most people want to be successful. I believe most people are good. And people say I'm naive because I've been burnt by a ton of people. And I thank every single person that ever burnt me. And I mean that, like, every business person that screwed me over, talked shit on me, employees that left and tried to steal my companies. And I thank all of them because I've learned so much. And I'm grateful because it made me into a better leader, believe it or not. It made me into a better person, right?
Yeah.
I just have a different look on things. Like, no one's going to steal my happiness from me. But I do believe if you can talk and communicate to people, most people do want to do well. Most people don't know they're doing bad. They don't understand why. So you have to coach them and talk them through it.
Yeah. And I want to actually clarify my hot take. I don't know if you know this. I have a therapy background. I just got my master's in therapy. I'm interested in therapy and mental health because in my own experience, I have endless examples of where I tried to like subtly change people. But the reality is unless you're direct, unless you say, hey, you're doing this and it's really bumming me out, you know, you're giving the person an opportunity to either change their behavior, but then you're also saying, okay, well, I told them what the issue was and now I can leave. Or in the case of business, now I can put them on a PIP. Now I can, you know, choose to end this business partnership. I can let them go. Like, when you're direct, you actually have like a point to relate to, you know what I mean? And you can say like, if this behavior doesn't change, I'm going to go ahead and do this instead.
I can tell you this, in my 25 years of being a leader at different companies, no one was ever side-blinded when I terminated them. They always knew it was coming. I'm a very direct person. I want to see you win. All I want to do is build organizations and everyone around me win. And if you're not on board with that, you got to go. You know, and here's a perfect example. I say this to people all the time. When you're in a meeting, right? And someone says, and you're saying, hey, listen, we're going to go do this. We're going to make 100 calls. We're going to go handle every single lead. We're going to do this. And somebody starts telling you why you shouldn't do it. That person's actually against you and your organization and growth. They got to go. Mm-hmm. They got to go. You know, because I can't change the person that doesn't want to get bored with the mission. The mission is more important than my feelings, than your feelings, than anything else. That the mission is the mission to win and build and grow an organization. That's the only mission.
Yeah. Let's talk about advertising and marketing just for a second, because I know you're really passionate about it. So thinking about trade businesses that are listening, we have mostly trade businesses who listen to the show. What are some of your go-to tips for advertising and marketing?
As I tell everybody, you know, it's the same stuff I was doing for clients: Google, SEO, PPC, remarketing, social media, email marketing. There's so many tools out there. You know, I'm a fan of Marketing Pro just because it goes right with Service Titan, right? But there's other things out there like Chirp and all these other tools, and people just don't use them. And I'm like, shame on you. Like, people are like, well, it costs so much money, but how much money are you not increasing your revenue by, right? You're looking at the penny, but you're losing dollars, right? It's just doesn't make sense, because your business, if it's not marketing right, people ask me, Lance, how do you take these companies and scale them so fast? Well, I'm not the salesman. So you know that's not happening. So the only thing I can do is feed salesmen's leads. How do you get leads? By advertising. Most people will spend between 3 to 6% in the marketing. I'm a true believer in spend 8 to 15% to grow your company.
Mm. Any specific marketing or ad campaigns that you found really successful in roofing? I mean, I know on this show, we talk a lot about how customer education campaigns can be really impactful. Anything that like really comes to mind with that?
I say this to people all the time. If you go look at the great companies out there that really do great branding, Skittles, Red Bull, you go to their pages, they're not selling Skittles or Red Bull. They're making things informational, funny. So it's a balancing act when you're a small business. You want to get your brand out there for what you do, but you want to make, you know, I say this to people all the time. There's like email marketing. People are like, I just don't have time for it. You can set up an automated email marketing to be in touch with your clients 12 times a year simply, right? January 1, Happy New Year's Day, right? February, Happy Valentine's Day. Just think about how simple this stuff is. President's Day, St. Patty's Day, 4th of July, Memorial Day, right? Thanksgiving, Kwanzaa, Easter, you know, just it goes on Christmas, right? You could have 15 simple, just copy and paste a standard off a Google newsletter. And that's 15 contacts right there, let alone all the other things like Pretzel Day, Hot Dog Day, National McCann, the dumb things that you can come up with to stay in front of your customers. Thank the Customer Appreciation Day. Then it's also on social media, you know, getting out in front of people, making things funny. I just think if you don't understand advertising and marketing, no matter what business, whether it be trades or technology, you're not going to be successful. And people say to me, well, Google doesn't advertise. And I start laughing. I'm like, did you ever been up to New York? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, well, there's billboards of Google everywhere. Why do they have billboards? Right? Apple, same exact thing. You know, Apple says they don't have salespeople, but this is what I would say to people. Why Apple is probably one of the best sales and marketing companies out there. When you walk into an Apple store, how many employees are still there waiting to take your order?
Like 1,000.
There you go. They're all salespeople. You call them whatever you want. When you interact and you hand a customer a device, explain it, show them the benefits of it, and take their money, you're a salesperson.
I love that. All right. Very, very cool. And I'm also seeing a bit of a commonality here. Why me versus why not me? Why aren't you doing email marketing? I don't have time for that. You know, it kind of goes back into that. It's kind of like shifting your mindset into like, well, I've got to do whatever it takes if this is what I want for my business, if I want to grow and scale it.
If you want to grow and scale your business, you know, and this is why I say to everybody, you want to know what, I could tell you in less than 5 minutes, Jackie, what's important to you in your life. You want to know how?
How?
Show me your calendar and show me your text messages.
Oh.
That's all I need to see, and I can show you what's important in your life. I don't need to see anything. Whatever you say after that doesn't matter. You look at someone's calendar and their text messages, it's going to tell you what's important.
What would people see if they saw your calendar and text messages? Or what do you glean from your own text messages and calendar?
I have no problem telling people what's important to me. Building companies and winning and taking care of my family and being with my kids and my wife. If you go through my phone, all you're going to do is see you go through me talking about business stuff and wrestling and football. And now my kids are going to play baseball, trying to build programs, trying to get good coaches in, that type of stuff. And then business, same exact thing. How are we growing? What are we scaling? What leadership do we have? What problems do we have? How are we solving those problems? Calendar, if you look at my calendar, it's the same exact thing. All business meetings, all things like that. And then being with my kids and family.
Love it. All right. You've been so generous with your time, Lance. I've got a few more questions for you. You mentioned at the top, personal coach, business coach. I've got them both. What are you working on now?
I'm working on being a better leader every single day. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that. A better business person, a better communicator. You know, people were like, man, you have these great communication skills. I'm like, well, I work on them every single day. And sometimes, you know, I'm working on trying to hold my cool back because I do get heated. You know, I can get heated because I'm passionate, you know, so I'm working on that. You know, right now we're looking at the right businesses to bring in LB Capital with the right partners that have the right mindset and the right visions and goals and ethics. You know, those are things I'm working on personally right now. And then building great relationships in multiple things. I own multiple technology companies. I own trade companies. And you need to have good relationships with a lot of these different people because they're a fountain of information to help you. Like, why go through all the punches and getting hit in the head? You know, me and Tommy Mello say it's easier to go somewhere a lot faster with someone that's been there before than trying to figure it out on your own. And people just don't get that saying. You're going to get there a lot faster with someone that's been there before than you trying to figure it out on your own.
This is a question I ask a lot of folks like you. Like, I've asked Tommy this, I've asked Ishmael this, you know, because you've got kind of, you're almost, the word's not caricature, but you as your, as who you are as a person, as Lance Bachman, I know there's people that look up to you and go, who is this guy, right? And so I think it's really important to humanize people like you. And you've done a fantastic job of doing that on this episode, and I can't wait to release it. A question I've asked Tommy and Ishmael that I'd love for you to answer is, can you tell me about the day you almost quit? The day you almost like stepped back and was like, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. Do you have that? Did that happen for you?
I don't know if that, I mean, I'd be lying just making something up. I think my childhood was so insanity. There was no way you would have to kill me to get me to quit. To be honest with you, like, I just don't, you know, I think I would love, like, listen, has there been days where I'm pissed and I'm like, I'm done? I mean, the day that made me sell one SEO, I could tell you that because I love that more than anything else. And that's a way of quitting, but I just happened to get a big check when I walked out. I loved all my customers at one SEO. I enjoyed it. I think it's the best digital marketing agency still in the country. And I have no vested interest in saying that. I don't own a stock in it, but I still think it's the best digital agency. I think they're some of the greatest people. I knew I was done when there was an upset customer on the phone and I was trying to help them. And literally, you know, I was like, I'm just done. Like, I'm done. Mm. Like, you know, this guy's upset. I gotten so big, I can't physically go do it anymore. Where literally, when I first started my first 4, 5, 6 years, I could have fixed any problem. And you had it's a machine, right? Like Service Titan's a machine, right? Like, you know, Aura has to come in and sideways that machine. And I had to step in sideways that machine. And I literally sold the company inside of 5 months from then. I was just like, this is not like, and this, I don't want to be part of a big machine. I'm a hands-on guy. I love what I do. But there was never a time where I was like, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to quit. Like, that's off the table for me. I'd rather die than quit. Like, that's all. And I mean that with all my heart. Like, I'd rather physically die than quit.
Okay. Love it. And I do actually love that you brought it back to your childhood and your beginnings. Like, if you had to struggle so far to get where you're at, you're like, I'm not quitting now. So I think that's a beautiful perspective. And I thank you for sharing it.
Yeah, because if you think about it, like I say this all the time, when someone's childhood is that bad, right? Everything I have now is nothing but a blessing. Why would I think about quitting? You know, your job as a leader is to find solutions. Is it stressful? Is it a nightmare sometimes? Absolutely. You know, when debt racks up, when I used to have debt, but I never really thought about quitting. I mean, I'm a very blessed man. Quitting was never really on the table.
Got it. Lance, this has been an awesome interview. Final question for you, Lance. What is it? What did you see in Service Titan for the roofing industry? Tell me what it is that you saw in the technology.
Well, Jackie, kind of like I said before, I looked at AccuLynx, JobNimbus. I looked at all these other CRMs, and it didn't give me what I needed, meaning that marketing, all the KPIs, how many times my phone ring, how many leads I book, what's my average sale, how many jobs do I have left sales, you know, the dispatch board, the text messaging when someone's on the way, the reviews. I had every KPI I needed to run my business daily without being in my P&L daily, right? So for me, I didn't see that. And then obviously that was a big piece for me, right? I mean, the price book, the in-home selling, other tools have it. I just thought the overall from the beginning of the sales start process to the end of tracking my advertising, where every nickel's going to every lead to where it's going, every campaign, I need to know where to invest my money to get the biggest bang for its buck, and the other ones didn't do it. And obviously, Service Titan is a slick tool in home to get people to sign good, better, best proposal, 3 different roofs. I mean, I'd have to just give one. I just think, and people ask me sometimes, like, man, do you have stock in Service Titan? I'm like, no. Like, do you own part of Service Titan? I'm like, nope. I'm like, I just believe in the product that much.
That's awesome. Well, Lance, thank you so much for being a guest on Toolbox. You are a wonderful guest. Maybe we can do some therapy in some time. If you ever want some freelance therapy, just hit me up. Absolutely. But thank you again for being a guest on Toolbox for the Trades.
Jackie, thank you for having me. And tell Ishmael when you see him and make sure it gets in here. I want to be like him when I grow up. You'll understand what I'm saying.
Hey, Toolbox. Jackie here with a quick message. As a listener to this podcast, I know you've heard contractors rave about how ServiceTitan's integrated solutions help them extract the most out of every job. Like Atotal Plumbing, who used Marketing Pro to remind their customers they offer financing. The result? $44,000 in revenue from just one email. That's one simple example of how ServiceTitan's integrated solutions help contractors unlock hidden revenue and time savings. Click the link in the show notes to learn more.